Z1077 welcomes you to Up Close, a weekly public affairs program presented by Z1077 News. You're invited to call in with your questions and comments. Our call-in number is 366-8471. Now, your host for Up Close, Gary Danielle.
Well, thank you, Mr. Announcer, wherever you are. And welcome to the Z1077 Up Close Show on this crispy June 30th of 2023. Our producer is Michelle Alley. Our phone number for you to call and participate is 760-366-8471. I'm Gary Danielle, your host. And the Z1077 Up Close Show is a special presentation of Z1077 News presented in the public interest. Good morning, good morning. We have two guests in studio today. Both are involved in the same profession. We will explain how that works. But we have with us San Bernardino County Fire Prevention Specialist Tim English and CAL FIRE Captain Specialist Bennett Malloy. And welcome to Tim and Bennett. Appreciate you both being out here today.
Good morning, Gary.
Good morning, sir. Thanks for having us.
Oh, I'm glad to have you here. And again, we have some important information to give out today about fire prevention. But first, let's talk about 4th of July, because that is always a mixed blessing for those in the fire business. So let's talk about, first of all, here in the Morongo Basin, all fireworks are illegal.
That is correct, sir. There are no fireworks allowed except for the professional shows that we permit.
Now, let me ask you a question. How do you define safe and sane, and are those ones legal? Because I see, like, in the supermarkets, I'm thinking, do these guys know they're selling illegal stuff? Where's the line?
So safe and sane is actually regulated by CAL FIRE through the Office of the State Fire Marshal. So one way that you would know that it's safe and sane, which is legal in some parts of the state of California, is it would bear the state fire marshal seal on it, which is a couple crossed, like, looks like trumpets, but it's actually bugles, and it will say the Office of the State Fire Marshal above it. Those are limited to, like, fountains which emit like a spark from a fixed location. Anything that leaves the ground, which would be bottle rockets, aerial fireworks, Roman candles, anything like that would be illegal within the state of California. It would actually be classified as a dangerous firework, which is actually a misdemeanor just to possess it.
And we're going to talk about penalties, because they're nothing to sniff at. They can get very expensive very quickly. And in fact, in some occasions, there could be jail time.
You're right. So there's with the various different types of fireworks, anything homemade is automatically a felony within the state of California, classified as a destructive device. That anything that falls within the health and safety code defined as a dangerous firework, which is like what we just talked about, like the Roman candles, all of that kind of stuff, would actually be a misdemeanor. And if you have over 100 pounds, this county prosecutes those as a felony.
I just read a story, I think it was out of Ontario. A homeowner there had like 4,000 pounds of fireworks, including barrels of black powder. How did that go down?
He was actually in San Bernardino City, and everything was confiscated from him. He had lift charges, all kinds of different materials to make fireworks. They were all confiscated and brought in.
So he's facing some pretty heavy charges.
I would assume he is. I don't know exactly, but we do have a $1,250 fine for any illegal fireworks that we find. We do confiscate them, but he was on a whole new level, making them at home, which is a felony.
Wow. Okay. So let's talk about fireworks specifically. Here in the Morongo Basin, there are two licensed fireworks shows, the Town of Yucca Valley and in 29 Palms, the Tortoise Rock Casino put those on, with licensed pyrotechnicians who know what they're doing. I've actually worked with both pyrotechnics before. They do a good job. But between and around those shows, we see fireworks coming from the neighborhoods constantly. Do you do any sort of proactive patrol? Do you have firefighters out for San Bernardino County who are looking for fireworks, trying to get those homeowners?
So we do go out with either sheriff's department or local PDs in the areas that we do monitor or have jurisdiction over. We do give those fines, $1,250 citations, and
$1,250. That's an expensive 30-second firework.
It really is, because we do interdiction as well at state line with Department of Agriculture, and we confiscate all their stuff and give them a $1,250 ticket. So they could be thousands and thousands of dollars into those fireworks.
Wow.
Yes, sir.
Now, you have firefighters that go out with sheriff's deputies, and they're doing proactive. They're looking for fireworks.
Yeah, it's actually the Fire Prevention Bureau. We go out with our local authorities and just drive around. We also follow up. We have a reporter app on our website, www.spcfire.org, and you can actually report fireworks. There's a map. You can pinpoint exactly where it's at, what kind of firework, and that is monitored and sent out to us to go investigate.
So it's sbcfire.org.
.org.
Okay. sbcfire.org. Now, what do you tell people who say, my family's been shooting off fireworks for 50 years. It's just something we do. We do it. It's how we celebrate the holiday. What do you tell those folks? I'll start with you, Bennett.
Well, so, you know, it's tender, near and dear to my heart. I'm an American, and I love fireworks too, right? And my wife is from Wyoming, where they grew up playing with fireworks. But I can tell you firsthand, coming up on the law enforcement side of my career, or sorry, the fire side of my career, I've seen tons and tons of injuries of little kids that have lost their fingers, hands, severe injuries to their eyes and face. Plus, now being on the law enforcement side where I currently work, I see the legal aspects and how that can really damage a family. So, you know, there's fun ways to go out and participate as a family and do that and observe the 4th, and that's through these pre-built shows, right, where these pyrotechnicians are licensed through the state of California. They put on these shows. They spend a ton of time and money and effort to do that, and that's a safe way to accomplish that. The other risk, especially with us, with Cal Fire, is when you cause a vegetation fire and we find you responsible for that, we seek restitution from you. So you would have to pay for the suppression costs. So I don't know if you've saw the news lately and what it costs to suppress these large and damaging wildfires, but you know they can typically be in the tens or thirties of millions of dollars, and you would be responsible for paying the state back for the suppression costs.
Wow. Paying that pretty much the rest of your life.
Yes.
Let's talk about jurisdictions so we have a differentiation between where your responsibility is. Now, Cal Fire is responsible for what they call SRA land. What does SRA stand for?
Yeah, you're right. So it stands for State Responsibility Land, okay, to try and make it simple. So every square inch of the state of California is kind of chunked up to what fire agency is going to be responsible for responding to that area. Some areas you're really lucky, like San Bernardino County, where you have multiple jurisdictions that were responding. So, like, for example, Tim and I, the district, we have district overlays. So you have San Bernardino County Fire and Cal Fire that would respond to incidents within this area. Our primary mission in this area would be the vegetation, versus the county's primary mission would be the structures and other emergency medical, hazmat, you know, all risk type of stuff. Cal Fire only would do that within our contract cities, which would be like Yucaipa Highland, those types of locations.
Yep. Now, here in the Morongo Basin, we have Cal Fire, we've got San Bernardino County Fire, we have Morongo Valley Fire, we have marine-based fire station, we've got a National Park Service engine and a Bureau of Land Management engine. So that's a lot of jurisdictions here in the Morongo Basin. But I've watched you guys respond, and you all work together really well. Is there do you practice for that, or is it a discipline? I've seen the agencies year, get together. It's like a well-oiled machine.
So each year we do what's like a fire preparedness readiness exercise, and that can be countywide. So that could include our federal partners. Kind of the state of California is particularly blessed through our mutual aid system. It's really easy to get other fire agencies to come help you on a large and damaging fire, and it can happen very rapidly. You don't have to wait for these long, drawn-out requests to make it to somebody and somebody to read it, an email, and approve it. It almost happens autonomously throughout the state of California, this big grocery shopping list of resources that you get, so you put in that request. Also, the approach that we've taken locally is when we have an incipient fire or a small fire, every jurisdiction that's close to that responds to that fire, and then we'll figure out whose jurisdiction it is, right? Instead of playing the game of, oh, it's not my problem, it's not my problem, it's not my problem, because that's how you get very large.
It's all of our problems.
It's all of
who's
our
in
problems.
Charge.
Right,
so,
exactly.
Yeah. I know in journalism business, one of the first things we teach a reporter is how the incident command system works. So they stay out of your way, and they're not bothering people who have a more important job to do than talk to a reporter. We get to write to the guy who has the information. That seems to work pretty good. Define where San Bernardino County's jurisdiction is here in the Morongo Basin.
As stated by Bennett here, we take care of all of the structures in the city. We take care of all the big buildings. We take care of everything minus the wildland interface areas that CAL FIRE would take care of.
And where are the wildland interface areas here in the Morongo Basin that CAL FIRE is keeping a watchful eye on?
So typically you'll see us anywhere that's unincorporated lands, and even in incorporated lands where there's a risk to natural resources or cultural resources, that would fall to the state of California. One of our missions is to protect the environment. Ultimately, we're trying to protect the watershed because water is critical to the state of California, and so that's one of our focuses is to ensure that that runoff, those water resources aren't being depleted by pollution from smoke, from the ash that's left over that enters the waterways and would ruin future water resources for next year for the citizens of California.
So what we call the wildland interface areas in the Morongo Basin would be Pioneer Town,
yes,
the Yucca Valley?
Morongo Valley.
Okay, mm-hmm. All right. Now, Morongo Valley has their own fire department, but you all have a mutual aid agreement with them?
So that's still state responsibility land down
okay.
there, so it'd be the same situation.
So it's an overlay?
Yes, a district overlay. So they would be responsible for the structure protection, and we would respond. We would respond anyways for their structures, but
yeah.
That would be their mission, their fiduciary duty. But the vegetation would all be CAL FIRE's responsibility.
So that's Morongo Valley. Now, 29 Palms is San Bernardino County is contracted to the city to provide fire service, but you get a lot of help from the Marine Base Fire Department. I see them going out on a lot of incidents.
We do get a lot of help from the Marines.
They respond as a mutual aid partner within the county for everybody. So then you have a couple of the smaller entities up there like Newberry Springs and up off the higher portion of the low desert.
And federal, we are, of course, have a national park right next to us, and you guys work with them too.
Mm-hmm.
Now, what's the difference between the, you may not know because it's federal, but there's a BLM engine and a National Park Service engine. Those are two separate services, two separate agencies?
That's correct. There's actually several federal firefighting agencies. So you have actually the Department of Fish and Wildlife, you have Bureau of Land Management, Bureau of Indian Affairs, the U.S. Forest Service, and they're broken down, I can't speak on their behalf, but
yeah.
Primarily between two entities, so the Department of the Interior and the Department of Agriculture, and they each have their own specific the missions within that, right? Typically, it goes back to whether there were minerals or products being harvested from the land is when those jurisdictions were created, right? So you typically will see like minerals or mining land will be BLM versus timber products would be like Forest Service land. And then obviously National Park has their own mission. Fish and Wildlife has their same ecological concerns. So there's several. And then the Bureau of Indian Affairs also has fire resources that would respond for any federal land that is actually deeded to within like a reservation, for example.
So like the 29 Palms, the casino area there is on 160 acres of reservation land. So do they have their own department or does county respond there?
County responds to those.
So you have an agreement with them?
We have an agreement with them. We do their inspections. We do their fireworks shows. So we are their fire department.
All right. So again, with the Marine Base, that brings in a whole bunch of agencies. I mean, with the National Park, it brings in a bunch of agencies. And again, this may not be in your area, but I've noticed that the National Park has changed policy. It used to be if there was a lightning-sparked fire in Covington Flats or something like that, they let it burn. Because it's part of nature, part of the cycle. But now I notice they're not letting them burn. They're going out and attacking those fires and controlling them. Is there a reason for the change?
You know, I don't want to speak on their behalf. I think
agencies
have in the past tried to be sensitive to. So if you look at the environment within the state of California, it actually was a wildland fire-driven environment, right? All the seasonal grasses, the oaks. Historically, that's what California was with its indigenous people, right? A lot of the vegetation requires fire to reproduce. It's part of the natural ecosystem. Well, as we introduce humans into that and we move out and we move out of these dense cities and we move into the urban interface and create those areas, we've kind of gone to this suppression tactic where we suppress every fire. And it's had consequences. So now you see these large and devastating fires where we burn down 20,000 homes or entire communities like the community of Paradise. And that has to do with where we're building, the amount of fuel that's been allowed to build up over the last century of this process. And so our federal partners have historically taken, I feel like using the word allowed to burn isn't really a great description. It's more like a management position where they manage that fire. They would protect and engage if there were certain values at risk. So, for example, homes and those types of things. But I think it's this really hard edge that the fire service is faced with in the state of California, where we're trying to do right by the environment, but we also have an obligation to protect homes and our citizens. And often those policies clash, right? They aren't the same. And so I think every agency is trying to find the answer to work for that right now.
And in the past, I've talked to the National Park folks who say the reason that they look a little differently at things is they all these invasive grasses have come in, which carry fire and heat more than the native grasses would. So it changes the natures of the fire and makes them more damaging. So they will usually err on the side of suppression.
It actually becomes, when you have non-native species, the fire is actually more damaging than it would naturally be in those areas because of the fuel loading, because of the pyrophytic nature of those plants. And so we actually end up doing more damage to the environment than if it was the normal native plants to the state of California.
I want to talk a little bit about fire prevention and how we can protect our homes, but I'm going to take a quick little break. We're going to be right back with more of the Z1077 Up Close Show after these brief messages.
Interest rates on hard money loans don't fluctuate with the Federal Reserve. This is Patty Brown, aka the Loan Lady or the Queen of Green. Do you need cash for home improvements? Trying to fix up your home to put on the market? We offer great alternatives and flexible lending for home improvement loans and mortgages. Our money to loan comes from local investors looking to invest in people, not credit scores. We've got money for your next project available and fast closing too. Call me today at 365-7003. The Loan Lady. We want to be your real estate lender.
Community pharmacies do still exist. The biggest advantage they have is the ability to give you more personal attention. The staff at Star Pharmacy get to know their customers. It's easier to ask questions when you know your pharmacist. Star Pharmacy also carries durable medical equipment, wheelchairs, walkers, and other health aids. A full range of supplements to boost your immune system, even meds for your pet. Visit your local Star Pharmacy across from the post office in Joshua Tree.
It is 10:23. This is the Z1077 Up Close Show. I'm Gary Dignot, and good morning to you. Our guest in studio today, we're talking about fires today, actually not how not to have one, with San Bernardino County Fire Prevention Specialist Tim English and Cal Fire Captain Specialist Bennett Malloy. And welcome again back to Tim and Bennett. We appreciate you coming out today. So we talked about fireworks. Basically, they're illegal. Don't do it. And this year, they're going to be patrolling neighborhoods. So you could end up with a $1,250 ticket.
Yes, sir.
Wow. That's dead serious. And if you do cause a fire, you're going to pay for it. So it's just not worth it. It's just not worth it. But let's talk about, in general, how do we protect our property and our families in fire? We've heard about defensible space. Define what that is, defensible space. And I know, again, you're more wildland fires. They're more structure fires. And they have different characteristics. So let's start with in town in a high-density area. How do we protect our homes from fire?
So, like, internally, or are you talking externally from people?
Both.
Both.
Yeah, so let's talk about
internally, working smoke detectors are huge. Keeping combustibles away from your exits on the inside, keeping windows unobstructed so you have a clean way out. In California, the law is that you have to have two ways out of a bedroom. So you can't block that window. You can't sleep in a room with only one way out.
Really?
Yes, sir.
Okay, you have to have two ways to get out of your bedroom.
Yes, sir.
All right.
Fire extinguishers are another great thing to have about and understanding how to use them, as well as egress drills. You know, have your family go through what we call EDITH, exit drills in the home, and come up with a meeting point where everybody could just get out safely. And because our firemen will come in, even if you're on the second floor, they're going to go through that window and get you out of there. So...
Now, a lot of homeowners don't have fire extinguishers, but you recommend that they do.
I recommend that they do. They can get them anywhere, even Amazon. Just get yourself a nice two-way 10BC fire extinguisher. Put it in the garage, put it in the kitchen. Those are your kind of your hazard areas at home, and just have one available.
Now, let me ask about smoke detectors, because my understanding is they've changed. It used to be you had to change the battery every year, but now you just buy a new smoke detector every 10 years. How does that work?
Every 10 years. They're lithium ion powered batteries, and you don't have to change them out for 10 years. And there's one in each hallway leading to a sleeping area, and then one in each bedroom.
Okay.
That's where they're supposed to be.
All right. Now, those are required, like when you're building a home, do you have to have those installed?
All new homes come with them, yes, sir.
Okay. So where the concern is people who may have had your smoke detector, you don't think about it. It's up there until it makes that loud beepy noise. And then you pull the battery out so you don't have to hear the loud beepy noise, and you never get around to changing your smoke detector, and now you have a fire in your house, and you've got some problems.
Definitely.
Yeah.
And they're all interconnected nowadays, too, so one goes off, the whole house goes off.
Okay. And those are commonly available?
Commonly available.
Okay. Now, as far as homes, like in a high-density area in a neighborhood, what can we do to protect the outside of the home?
So you can do what's called home hardening, if you want to do something like that. And what's the largest, most vulnerable surface on your home?
The roof.
So maybe getting a roof with that's not combustible, tiles, things like that. Blocking your eaves, so enclosing your eaves, so then you don't have any potential sparks that get up into your eaves, which is just basically bare wood. Vents, all your attic vents, some type of a baffle to keep embers from getting in there. Because, you know, an ember can travel up to 5 miles. It just takes one.
Wow.
Yeah. Your walls, combustible siding, other combustibles, or overlapping materials, provide a surface and crevice for embers to nestle and ignite. So that's a problem, right? Your windows and doors, embers can enter the gaps in the doors, including garage doors. Plants or non-combustible storage near windows can be ignited and generate heat that can break windows or melt.
So kind of a common sense thing is just look around at your house, and if there's a place an ember can get in, figure out how to protect it.
Yes, sir. Yeah. Balconies and decks are another, right? They're combustible materials, yeah. Typically. There are materials you can get that are non-combustible, but what about the combustibles that you place on that deck?
Now, in your primary responsibility, which is structure fire, a structure next door can cause fire because the embers are coming from there. So one fire can cause an entire neighborhood to be in severe danger.
Yes, sir.
Yeah. Now,
and not just embers. We're worried about radiant heat as well.
Okay. Now, Bennett, in your primary responsibility, which is wild land interface, state responsibility areas, what can we do to protect homes there?
So there's a lot, and that primarily starts like in our yard. So as he's talking about, the home hardening is a excellent aspect to protect your home, but also one way to protect your home is to reduce the vegetation. So Cal Fire has different zones identified. We now have the zero zone, which didn't exist prior to the beginning of this year, but basically that first 5 feet adjacent to your structure, we're recommending that you remove all vegetation. So we used to have...
You know, those bushes you have growing against the side of your house?
Yes.
Not a great idea.
Because we found that, like Tim was saying, those actually catch on fire during a wildland fire, and then it breaks your window, and that's what allows the fire to enter your home and destroy your home. So that's what studies have shown. And then now we go beyond that. So we have this basically the 5 to 30 feet. We want to go lean green. So if it's ornamental, it should be well watered. It should be cut low to the ground. We also have a lot of regulations on what's called horizontal ground spacing. So if you, most of the areas out here are relatively flat, but we have a lot of steep little knobs and stuff out here in the valley. And so you'd want to space out the vegetation that you do have. So that basically, however tall it is, you want it twice as wide. And then as the steeper it gets, you twice as wide between plants. But the steeper that it gets, you need greater spacing. And then out to 100 feet or your property line is best, you want to remove or cut the dead and dry grass that's all over this year down to 4 inches or less. And then if you can, you know, you have large parcels you can cross hatch with tilling and stuff like that that will help keep the fire off of your property. Say your neighbor's playing with fireworks and it catches their yard on fire so it doesn't burn your house.
The state of California has been through a severe drought in the last few years. Not this year, but in the last few years. And 1 year does not the end of a drought make, but it's a little more comfortable. But that has caused fire to behave differently than it has in the past. And CAL FIRE are very much affected by that. So severely that I think two of the major insurance companies have stopped writing insurance in the state of California. They believe it's this is State Farm, and I think the other one's Farmers. Two of the biggest. That those two agencies. So, what do you say to someone who says, "Well, I want to live out in the woods. I want to go live by the river. I want to have trees around me." And yet, what you're doing is putting yourself and your family in danger.
You are to a certain degree. That's what's hard. Is that's one of the reasons we all live in California. It's beautiful. We enjoy its various landscapes, from its low deserts, high deserts, mountainscapes. Or even our coasts, right? They're all so different, and that's why we love living there. So it's hard because people want to live out in that, and I can appreciate that as an outdoorsman, right? But the problem becomes, as you build there, it becomes difficult to protect your home there, and it becomes difficult to keep fire away, right? Because we talked about the ecosystem, that fire ecosystem that exists in California. But, you can live there. You just have to pay for it. It's going to be very expensive with your insurance companies, and unfortunately that continues. We saw this happen back when I was a kid, back in the earthquake days when we had our last big earthquakes here. Everybody lost a lot of homeowners insurance with that, and so it's a real challenge. I can't speak too much as a state government entity about insurance agencies, because we can't force private entities to insure people, right? That's not our business to do, unfortunately. But it is becoming increasingly difficult for the citizens of California to find effective homeowners insurance. There's always the California Fair Plan, which is administered through the state of California.
Yeah, that's if you literally can't get a policy. Correct. Through a yeah. private agency. Right. Yeah. The state has one. It's not cheap.
Yeah.
But the state of California actually has an alternative fire. So I've heard a lot of people say, I can't get insurance. Yes, you can.
There's
it's
always
just
an option,
cost you more.
Unfortunately. Yeah.
Yeah. And how does one find out about that? Is there a website to talk about the state offered insurance?
So typically you would go through whoever your insurance broker is, because I think there's a whole system about you would have to be denied by other entities, and then they're able to actually get you a quote through the California Fair Plan. You'd have to submit a couple photos of your home, and then they come out and actually do an inspection and do a risk evaluation on that property, and then they adjust the insurance to the risk that there is. So it's not one blanket, everybody pays this amount.
Right.
So if you lived in an area that's more at fire risk, it's steeper, then your wildfire protection is going to be greater than somebody that says flat, there's no vegetation around, and which is good. They recognize that.
So if you are denied insurance first, you can then go to an insurance broker who deals with different agencies, and they can walk you through the system to get onto the state insurance.
Correct.
Okay. Yeah. In San Bernardino County, it's a very interesting mixed county. We've got mountains, we've got deserts, we've got all kinds of things going on. Are there areas in San Bernardino County that are not issuing commercial fire insurance?
As far as I know right now, our mountainous regions are having issues with that. And then with the most recent winter storms, also issues with providing insurance for those folks as well, based on the damage that they received.
So, but once again, you can't be completely denied insurance. Your commercial agencies may decide it's too much risk for them to make the money.
Right.
But the state wants you protected, and there is a state alternative. You guys probably don't know, but I'll ask the question. Do you know the difference in price? Is it significant, or just a little bit more, or?
Well,
again, I know you're not in the insurance business.
In my office, I hear a lot of these complaints that come through because people are very frustrated with how things are going. Unfortunately, like I said earlier, like CAL FIRE, we are the regulatory agency for your defensible space, but we are not a regulatory agency for insurance. So yeah. I will hear these people's complaints because I can appreciate that, right? I'm middle-class American trying to make a living and raise a family and kids, and giving money away can be very difficult, right? But I've heard all kinds of quotes from people telling me that they're paying almost $8,500 a year, and some that are down in the $2,800 range. So, but I, you know, I'm not a representative of the California FAIR Plan. You'd have to go through them. I think it's worth looking into before you give up. It is an option that's out there. So
yeah, and the bottom line is we want to get you protected. Yeah. And if you decide you want to go out and live in the forest, that's your decision.
Yeah, there's a cost to that.
But it's going to cost you. Yeah. It's going to cost you a little bit more. I'm going to do a little bit of a aside from fire for San Bernardino County. You guys have a very professional training regimen. You work with your firefighters. They're very good at what they do. All of a sudden in San Bernardino County, it wasn't a firestorm. It was Snowmageddon. And you guys really stepped up. Can you tell me a little about your experience with that? I mean, it was, I don't think people realize how terrible it was, like 30 and 40 feet of snow on these homes up in Crestline and Big Bear. I mean, that's only an hour from here.
Yes. I was up there for going on about a month. We were doing damage assessment in those areas, and I have never seen so much snow in an area in my life. The berms on the side of the roads were 20 and 30 feet tall. You would get lost in them. The roads were completely blocked.
And it wasn't that they couldn't plow the roads. It was they didn't have any place to put the snow.
They had no place to put it. They were doing their very best to keep the main roads open for EMS, our engines and ambulances. But with that came blocked neighborhoods and that things like that. So it was very, very, very bad.
And you guys aren't trained for that, so you had to kind of learn on the fly?
Well, we did our absolute best. I mean, it's not a storm that's we've seen up there. It had to be a 100-year storm.
Yeah.
we had a lot of other agencies that were up there. Cal Fire was up there. We had LA County. We had many different agencies up there. FEMA. So it was a really good, but the damage was unbelievable.
Bennett, your folks are up there too?
Yeah, so we got called up as part of the all-risk response. That's one of the great things about San Bernardino County Fire is they truly are all-risk. They have multiple tools that they can bring to aid the citizens of the county. And so they are the Office of Emergency Services here, and so they were able to request additional resources to come in, and that's kind of what happens when anybody doesn't know how to handle something. They call the fire department, and then the fire department's responsible for kind of sorting that mess out, whatever that is, whether it's flood, snow, fire.
Cat in a tree,
yeah. Rescues, people, you know, stuck in trenches, you know, everything. They call the fire department, and they're problem solvers. They go out there and figure that out.
So you get that 911 call. You're never sure what you're going out on, huh, Tim?
No. Luckily, there's a lot of really great briefings that we get before things like that happen. But yeah,
have you ever had anything kind of wild or unusual happen with you?
Wild or unusual with me?
Big cat in a tree?
No, I never had to do that. I'm more on the inspection safety side.
Okay.
So I haven't climbed a ladder for a tree.
Okay. I want to talk about outreach. Oh, speaking of cats, we had a mountain lion killed in Yucca Mesa area. Got hit by a car. Who knew?
Yeah. They're out here.
Yeah. Yeah, that was just yesterday. Wow. So it's in the news today. So I was talking to the I'm really going off to the side. I'll get back to fire in a sec. I was talking to the National Park Superintendent. Told me that they do have mountain lions who live in the park, and they feed on the bighorn sheep, and that's the circle of life. Mm-hmm. That's their job. They make sure the herd is strong, and but we don't think about it up here. Bobcats are common. We see them all the time. Back to fire prevention. So I know San Bernardino County does a lot of outreach, and I want to talk about your Explorer program, because a lot of young people, I mean, you ask a 7-year-old what he wants to do when he grows up, he wants to be a fireman. And you have an opportunity for young men and women to find out about the fire service.
We do. We have a really great Explorer program. So it's 14 to 20-year-olds, and they have to maintain a 2.5 GPA or better to stay in the program. If you go on our website at www.sbcfire.org/fireexplorers, you can get all the information you want there and apply online for it.
Okay. And Bennett, is Cal Fire doing any outreach out here?
We do. We have two separate programs. So we have what's called a volunteer and prevention. So typically if it's like an introduction to the fire service and the many things we do. So they can do all kinds of stuff. They can work at fairs. They can come and help in our law enforcement office. We also have within our contract cities what's called a reserve program or a paid call program. So people trying to get into the fire service that have a couple certifications but maybe not enough experience to obtain a job, they can come work. They get paid for their shift, like a interim fee, I guess you could call it. And they ride out on the engines and they do all the work that our full-time firefighters do. And that's one of the ways that they can learn and get experience and add it to the resume, because being a firefighter within the state of California is incredibly competitive. And anything you can do to improve yourself.
Just up here, there's seven jurisdictions, so yes, I can imagine how competitive to make a career of it.
Yes, it is.
And it's something you brought up. There are certifications required. You don't willy-nilly jump on a fire engine. Give us an idea, Tim, about in San Bernardino County, how someone would get qualified. Where do I start?
So the better you shine, the better opportunity you have to get in. So getting certifications, maybe a college degree, is going to really help you. We have a lot of fire prevention classes that you can obtain through the State Fire Marshal's Office that are offered at a lot of different colleges that you can get. And you can even get a degree in fire prevention as well. And all that helps you. And then doing any type of volunteer work, like Bennett was saying, just makes you look that much better.
Now, both of you guys are specialties in your departments. Tell us a little about yourself, Tim. Where are you from? Where'd you grow up?
I was born in beautiful Westminster, California.
Cali boy?
Yeah.
Okay. And what made young Tim English decide he wanted to be a fireman?
All right. So when I was younger, I wanted to join the military. So as soon as I turned 18, I joined the U.S. Navy as a shipboard firefighter, damage controlman. And then after I did my time there, I got into private fire protection because I really loved.
So you got your initial training in the military?
Yes, sir.
On fire prevention?
That's where my academy was in the military.
Okay.
And then I served on the USS Ronald Reagan for 4 years as a firefighter.
Oh, what a fun ship to work on.
It was great.
Yeah, yeah. And then got into the civilian fire service.
I got into fire protection. And then after that, I just wanted more out of life. And so I came to the fire service. Into the prevention inspection side of it, because I really enjoy this side of it.
Now, you say you work primarily the fire marshal's office?
Yes, sir.
So more of the structure rather than the out on the engine pulling a hose. So.
No, we do damage assessment, like we were up there in the mountains or mudslides and things like that, fires. We do all of that. On top of that, we do the building inspections, the new construction, the things like that, all the infrastructure that goes along with that.
Now, if someone's building a house, is it your office that comes out and makes sure that's going to be safe?
It is our office that makes sure that it is built the way that it's supposed to be and it complies with the California Fire Code, as well as any local ordinances or standards that we have. And yeah, we go out there and inspect them and make sure that they're occupiable at the end.
How long have you been with San Bernardino County Fire?
I'm going on 7 years.
Okay. Sounds like the career is going to work out.
I like it a lot.
Yeah. Now, Bennett, you're also a specialist. You're not only just a fireman. You're a law enforcement officer.
Yeah, it trips everybody up when they get stopped by a Cal Fire truck and it's a policeman that gets out. Really messes with them.
So what is the difference between what you do and what Tim does? I mean, I see you have a badge. I see you're wearing a weapon.
Yeah.
You're obviously someone who can arrest people and take them away.
So I got started on the fire side. That's how it works for Cal Fire. So I got started back in 2006 as a volunteer, like we were just talking about. And I did that for a short time and took a lot of classes through the State Fire Marshal, went to a fire academy. I, for whatever reason, got this idea in my mind as a young man that I wanted to do fire investigations that work with the scientific process. And the first fire class I could take was an investigation class in college, and I found out that you don't walk in as a fire investigator. That just doesn't happen, that typically it's a promotional thing. So I thought, okay, then I'll be a fireman then if that's what I have to do. And so I took this big, long detour and then found out to be a fireman, you have to be an EMT and a paramedic. And so I did all of those things. And so 15-some years later, I finally made it to my goal to be an arson investigator. But within Cal Fire, we have two branches. We have our fire branch. But once I promoted to the rank of captain, a full post academy, which is what CHP goes to, the county sheriff goes to. And so we're a state sworn peace officer like CHP, Fish and Game, or parks, state parks. They're all state cops. So we can enforce all state statutes, so not just forestry and fire laws. That's our primary mission. Mostly we're hunting arsonists. But that's what I do on a daily basis is we investigate fires, find their origin and cause, and then the people responsible for them.
Bennett Malloy, where are you from?
I actually grew up in Yucaipa.
Okay, so we got two Cali boys here. Yeah. Great, yeah. It's interesting how many people just are from here that stay here and have wonderful careers here. And when did you start with Cal Fire?
In 2006.
Okay, yeah. So you've finally hit your goal.
Yeah.
But it was a long road to get there.
Yeah. But.
So arson investigator, what is the most common reason? Is it insurance? Is it money? Is it hate? Is it domestic? Or is it all of the above?
You know, there's so many reasons people do it for. You know, those are all the fancy ones that people love is, you know, for money. That does happen. It's rare, but they're more obvious because there's a financial track record. A lot of it seems to be just people lighting fire to light fire. You know, we have, I don't know how you say this, a challenged community here that are unhoused, and they start a lot of fires out of boredom, or they'll be battling with their tent neighbor over stuff, and so they'll set their neighbor's tent on fire, which spreads to the wildland. But a fire is really common in San Bernardino County, especially arson.
Okay. And is it your experience also, Tim, that there's a lot of arson in San Bernardino County?
Yeah, we have an arson unit, and we talk a lot, and that's the same problem that Captain Bennett here is talking about, just a lot of people running around and starting fires.
And there are serious consequences for that, Bennett?
There are. So arson is a felony in the state of California, and there's several other lesser included crimes within that. And actually, San Bernardino County Fire is actually on the arson task force with us here, and so we actually work pretty closely with them because we have so many jurisdictional overlays with them that I may be working a case that they may be working a similar case, because a lot of these arsonists are not a one-time perpetrator, right? And so I may have one case, they may have another, and we often find out that they're the same person. And so we share a lot of information with their investigators to try and see if we have a serial arsonist or if they have other events that may help lead us to the person responsible.
How do you interface with the county sheriff's department?
So we actually have a dispatching contract with them. So we monitor all of their frequencies. So like within our contract cities, we work really close with San Bernardino County Sheriff's Arson and Bomb. So sometimes if they're committed to an incident, they'll ask us to come out and help them, or we vice versa, right? So if we have a major dollar loss incident, we may ask for help from our allied agencies because doing a thorough investigation is resource intensive, right? And so luckily we have a pretty good working relationship with all of those entities to be able to get enough people to do interviews, to dig, because digging through the crime scene is one, but then you have witnesses and interviews and all kinds of follow-up work to go with all of that. So,
Tim, a little easier for you because San Bernardino County is your jurisdiction, and of course law enforcement, the Sheriff's Department is San Bernardino County, but do you work with them also?
The only time that I will work with SO or PDs in our jurisdiction is when we are doing things like firework patrols. We have an arson unit that does what Captain Malloy here does.
I want to come back to firework patrols because that's the reason we started all this is to talk about 4th of July coming up. But if you see a fire in your neighborhood, sbcfire.org, and there's actually a tool on there where you can push, you can just click the neighborhood, and
yes.
The fire department is out there with sheriff's deputies, and they're looking.
Yes, we are. Firework Reporter app on our website. It's great. You just click down where it's at on the map, tell us what it is, what they're doing, and someone will be out there to investigate that.
So if you are someone who normally shoots off neighborhood fireworks, you may want to do a little bit of self-reflection this year. Because they're going to be proactive.
Very.
Yeah. Do you get involved in any proactive stuff, Bennett?
We do. So we currently have augmented staffing. So we have about 6 officers within my unit. So we have all of them are on duty from here through the 5th. And actually, the county actually shares that information with us when people report fireworks. So we're out doing patrols both day and night primarily. But, we're out making arrests if we find them, and citations where appropriate.
Are you the guy who makes the arrests?
Yes, sir.
Yeah. Tell me about last 4th of July. How busy were you?
I don't want to say this too much, but last year was significantly less than 2020 and 2021, so I don't know if the message is getting through to the public that fireworks are being taken seriously, or people just didn't have the money from partying up too much or something like that. I don't know. But last year was much better in our communities that we patrolled. So hopefully it's the same way this year. It's a lot better.
So people who go to the fire mapping tool at sbcfire.org are also letting CAL FIRE know.
The county shares it. Their arson bureau shares it with us. Each night they send us like a little list of what's going on. And so if it's one of the communities that we're out in, we're going to come pay you a visit.
Okay, so be warned. Yeah. We're going to take another break. We'll be back with more of the Z1077 Up Close Show after these messages.
This is Cody Joseph from The Morning Show with Cody and Jeff. Sue's Health Foods is a regular stop for me. I can get staples there that I can't find at the grocery store. Everything from booch to nooch, as Jeff likes to say. Cashews in bulk, miso paste, local honey, and sweet treats for my kids. They really like the fruit chews from the bulk bins. The bulk bins are probably our favorite part of the store, and the employees are always so friendly and helpful. We couldn't make half the recipes we love without the ingredients we get from Sue's. My family has been shopping there for years, and the quality and care we have gotten has always been top-notch. I love going there, and I love supporting a local business that has given so much to our community for so many years.
Sue's Health Food, committed to your good health.
At Morongo Basin Community Health Center, your health is our priority. That's why we have medical specialists, including chiropractic, behavioral health, and now dermatology, available right here in our convenient Yucca Valley and 29 Palms clinics. Make an appointment today. Call 760-365-9305 or log on to our new website, morongobasinhealth.org. Morongo Basin Community Health Center, a program of Morongo Basin Healthcare District.
The whole community is invited to the third annual 4th of July Spectacular at Tortoise Rock Casino. It's a free, family-friendly event starting at 6 p.m. Plenty for everyone to enjoy. Games, giveaways, including scooters and bikes, many food trucks, and the TRC crew smoking ribs and chicken on site. The show before the show starts at 8 p.m. with award-winning country artist Blaine Howard. Bring your own lawn chairs and blankets if you'd like. Presented for the community by the 29 Palms Band of Mission Indians. This place rocks.
Here's something you must take advantage of this weekend. If you're tired of furniture that gets destroyed in a couple seasons or blows into the neighbor's yard, get to Desert Musts and check out their darn near indestructible pieces. Made with rebar reinforced cement, artfully decorated with beautiful mosaics, tables, benches, and more. Stop by Saturday, 10 to 4. Mention Z1077 and get free delivery too. Veterans, show your ID for even more discounts. They also have fountains, statuary, Buddhas, even Buddha fountains. Stop by Saturday, 10 to 4 at the west end of Yucca Valley on Kickapoo.
The new Smokin' Triple Stack at Firehouse Subs. Stacked with honey ham, smoked turkey, and slow-smoked brisket, it's one of their meatiest subs ever. To top it off, a portion of every purchase helps provide life-saving equipment to first responders across the country. So at Firehouse Subs, they don't just make subs, they make subs that are big, bold, and craveable. They make their subs differently because their subs make a difference. Firehouse Subs. Enjoy more subs, save more lives. Home Depot Center, Yucca Valley.
You can be a guardian angel to a four-legged friend. The Joshua Tree No-Kill Animal Shelter is a nonprofit that provides a safe haven for homeless pets until they can find a forever home. Public shelters often can't give these animals the time they need to find the right family. When you become a supporting guardian angel for the Joshua Tree No-Kill Animal Shelter with a monthly donation or a one-time donation, even a donation of time as a volunteer, you're helping save the lives of cats and dogs that may not otherwise survive. Go to mbhumanesociety.com for more information.
Fentanyl doesn't care, but we do. If you're a student in school, a parent, or someone experimenting with drugs for the first time, San Bernardino County Into Light Project and Stop the Void encourages you to get the facts at sbcounty.gov/dbh.
And we are back with the Z1077 Up Close Show. I'm Gary Danielle. Our guest in studio today, San Bernardino County Fire Prevention Specialist Tim English and CAL FIRE Captain Specialist Bennett Malloy. And again, Tim and Bennett, thank you for coming out so much. Now, the efforts by both of your agencies to stop fireworks isn't just driving through neighborhoods on the 4th of July. You do something called interdiction. I know I was driving from Las Vegas to my home in 29 Palms, and I was stopped at the border and asked about fireworks. So tell us a little bit about that effort that you guys do there.
Yes, sir. We do firework interdiction every year to limit or try to stop as many illegal fireworks from coming into California as we can. So we partner with the Department of Agriculture at that agricultural checkpoint, and we do inspections with the ag inspectors. We can't just say, hey, stop that car, open that. But if they have the authority to do that. So if they do that, they open the trunk and we see it because we're there, then we can do something about that.
Okay. And do you collect a lot of fireworks in that way?
We do collect a lot of fireworks. As Captain Molloy was saying earlier, this year has been a lot lighter than previous years. A couple of years ago, we were able to get 30,000 pounds.
Wow.
In just, I believe it was a six-week period.
Wow, 30,000 pounds.
Yeah.
And the CAL FIRE is also doing interdictions.
We do. We do several throughout the state, but locally, we have identified highways that are common transport. I don't want to give too much information here away. But that are common transports for the import of dangerous fireworks in the state of California. And so we do saturation patrols where we go out and we conduct traffic stops. And if we locate fireworks, then we deal with either citation or arrest, depending on what that may be. And so, for example, I think it was our 2019, we seized 125,000 pounds in 6 days. So they're out there and they're being transported. We're primarily focusing on people importing for distribution the last couple years. And so we're doing some more targeted approaches.
I drive to Nevada, and I'm looking for fireworks. So I go to my friendly neighborhood fireworks stand by the highway, and I buy some fireworks. So I've bought them legally, but I want to bring them to my home in 29 Palms.
Can't do that.
Mm-mm.
Okay. Yeah. So the legality of possession of fireworks, that has no difference whether you bought them legally or not.
So there's several factors. So when you buy them in Nevada, you're typically buying them in Nye County, and they issue a permit for transport and use within Nye County. As soon as you leave that county within Nevada, you've violated the law. When you cross state lines, you've committed a federal crime because you're not a transportation agency for dangerous fireworks. And then mere possession in the state of California, like I said, can be either a misdemeanor or a felony in itself.
And the same thing goes for San Bernardino County Fire.
Yes, sir. We have a zero tolerance policy, even if they come over and they do appear to be safe and sane.
Hey, thank you both for coming. Go to sbcfire.org if you want to report fireworks in your neighborhood. We'll be back next week with more Up Close. Until then, thanks for listening. Drive carefully and God bless. Bye-bye.
You've been listening to Up Close, a weekly talk and interview program presented in the public interest by Z1077 News. Join Gary Denyeau again next Friday at 10 for more Up Close.